Let's get Tom Gimbel on the line. My good friend, he filled in for me once on Your Money Matters recently when I was out of town. Tom, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network, always good to talk to you, Tom.
Good talking to you, John. I know I'm not important as January 6th hearings, but I will say that there was no chance of me replacing you. They couldn't wait to get rid of me. Oh. So good to be with you.
Not at all. I'm sure you did great. You know, we've been talking over the last year, right, that it's employees who are driving the ball here, right, or driving the car. They want raises. They want to work from home. Employers have had to adjust. We're going to see a shift at some point. It might be coming sooner than people think. That's going to be an interesting world to navigate, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, we're going to see the jobs numbers that come out next week. And for June, and I think that they'll still be decent, and I don't think we'll see unemployment pop up, but I do believe that as we go towards the end of the year, third and fourth quarter, that you'll see unemployment creep up a little bit, and with interest rates and really just hiring slowing down. I don't think it's going to go away. I think there's still more jobs than there are people looking, but the numbers are going to start to creep up, and what we're going to see is companies saying, okay, things are getting a little bit back to normal, and come back into the office a little more regularly. They're still going to be hybrid, but it's not going to be the employees driving the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, and really, I mean, I think that all these incentives that people offer now, and you know, and people think that this is here forever, and it isn't. And you know, there's these shifts, and we've all seen it before in recessions how employers get to determine what happens next. Could be a rude awakening for a group of new people entering the workforce who they've only experienced these boom times.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, and we've been in a boom time since 2010, so you take 12 years on top of a college graduate who graduates at 22, you're talking about anybody under the age of 34 years old has never really worked through a recession, you know, sans, you know, two and a half months in 2020 that the world was upside down due to a global pandemic. So what we're looking at now is it's going to be a little bit of a rude awakening for some people that it isn't as easy to get a job as you think it is, and you've got to play by some rules that you don't necessarily get to write. And I don't think that's a bad thing, and I'm not saying that as an employer, I'm saying that as a society, is that, you know, we don't want our sports teams, we don't want the players to tell people how to do it, we want the coaching staff to. We don't want our college students telling the professors and the academics how to run the university. We want them to learn. And sometimes in the workplace, you need the people who are leading the company to set the ground rules, and that's a better thing for society sometimes.
If there's to be layoffs at a company, and you can be honest with me here, Tom, do managers remember during the great times for employees, during the times when employers could have left and they didn't, they stuck around, maybe they didn't demand certain things, do managers and bosses remember that when it comes time to determine who's sticking around or not?
Absolutely. There is, you know, and different companies do it different ways, but you always look at, number one, who are the most productive members of society and within the company, I mean corporate society. Number two is who are culture givers and who makes the office environment a better place. And number three, who can you count on when times are bad? And the people that stuck around when times are really good and maybe they could have gotten 3, 5, 7, 10% more, but chose to stay and be loyal to the company that didn't lay them off during the second quarter of 2020. Their companies are going to turn back and go, you know what? We know we can count on Joe or Sally or Mary or Bobby, and we're gonna keep them around. I think 100% the people have a very long memory when it comes to employees.
Yeah, not that people shouldn't ask for what they're worth. That's not what I'm advocating.
No,
people should, but have the performance and the attitude to back it up.
There's an expression, John, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. And I think that when you look at what's going on over the past couple months, that you're going to see some hogs get slaughtered when the economy slows down a little bit.
We're out of time, so I need to put you to a yes-no question. If someone out there was part of the Great Resignation, they're looking at their checkbook and going, hey, you know what, I actually do maybe need a job. Should everyone be, and college graduates too, who want to wait till Labor Day and enjoy this summer, should everyone get a job immediately?
I'd put my line in the water and see what bites.
Yeah, for sure. Tom Gimbel, always good to talk to you, my friend.
Likewise. Thank you for having me. Stay healthy.
CEO of LaSalle Network. And you can see more at LaSalleNetwork.com. Philip Weinstein is now for the president of SciFarth at Work. Philip, good to talk to you again.
Good to be here, John. Thank you.
All right. We're talking about onboarding errors being made by bosses and companies. In simple terms, what does onboarding mean for those that don't know?
Yeah, well, onboarding classically means once you hired somebody, the steps you take to fully integrate them into the company. And that really starts with the day you make the offer and ends as late as a month or two after they've been actually employed. So it's a range of activities. Some employers, John, include the hiring step itself, making the offer.
Okay.
And to your point about onboarding errors, we're seeing a whole lot of them being made by employers right now, partly because they don't know how to adjust to these sort of confusing data points in the economy in terms of a possible recession, and because many simply fear that they won't get talent in the door fast enough. So a dizzying number of factors, a lot of errors resulting.
Is it that they're just, oh my gosh, we got a qualified candidate, they stood out in the interview, let's make sure we keep them and we keep them happy, right? Which I understand their fear, but that can lead to not getting them, quote unquote, on board the right way.
Exactly right. And we would bucket that or term that, John, as an employer over-eagerness.
Okay.
This notion that many companies are living in fear that they will lose that new hire to another company sooner than they can afford to. And what's fueled this bit of a panic in some industries are reports that some really aggressive employers are actually trawling social media, looking at announcements made by recent college grads about the job they just accepted, and then going and making an offer that is so sweet, that is so above and beyond what was made to that individual, that the recent grad can't help but accept it. So
Whoa.
Companies are looking at this landscape, especially in industries like healthcare, banking, transit, and saying, we need to do whatever we can to keep these people. And sometimes that means they're not properly supervising new hires. They're not giving them the feedback that is required because they don't want to offend them and push them out the door.
Right, and that can lead to disastrous, put into context, situations for these companies.
Yeah, in fact, we've seen that happen. Without mentioning names, of course, there's an East Coast health management firm that we're now helping where one employee was actually so offended by feedback that he should be more careful with his patient coding work, which, of course, it could be life or death for
right.
some of their stakeholders, that he asked to switch supervisors. He said, you know what, everyone else was treating me here like a superstar. I don't think I really should be subject to that kind of harsh criticism this early in my career. That's because he was given this soft-touch supervision that, frankly, is not going to work in the long or the short term. We're seeing a number of examples just like that one where companies did not want to sort of pull the trigger on performance management and therefore couldn't manage people when they really needed to.
I can already see the text coming in about participation trophies given out at baseball games. We won't go down into that road, of course. But to the flip side, though, I mean, are we seeing companies, though, that are being, maybe they're seeing this slowdown happening, there's fears, there's talk of recession, and they're over-correcting?
Yes. And, you know, part of that has happened with sort of almost like a whiplash speed, John. In the last week, we had companies that were planning on a massive hiring announcements early in the week. By the end of the week, they'd stopped that plan and had to actually consider some possible layoffs and even rescinding of offers. So that's an extreme example of what the economy as a whole is experiencing. And the problem with that is companies not only are sending mixed signals, are creating a sense of uncertainty among applicants and current employees, but they're underinvesting now in things like onboarding training, on team networking opportunities, because they don't know how long the new hire will be with them. And we've seen many companies already face consequences because they didn't properly invest as part of this decision that we're not going to overspend if the person may not be with us that long.
Right. And here, well, then that's where you lead to a problem, right? We're talking about, very much broad strokes. Okay, this affects time. But when you don't train an employee the right way, I mean, especially if you're in a client-based relationship with your company, I mean, this can have disastrous consequences for the bottom line of your company.
Yeah, no question about it, John. We actually are working with a company now. It's a West Coast-based management consulting firm, and they experienced just what you're describing, meaning they were giving people the necessary requisite technical skills because people have to do the base job, but they had stopped all team networking collaboration type training and meetings. The result of that was the owner told me that just last week, two members of his newly hired team got an argument in front of a client in response to the client's own idea. And the owner said to me, that would never have happened 6 months ago because we had the proper training in place so people knew how to play off of one another, support one another, have each other's back. So even at the margins, this ability to properly collaborate and support comes from these kinds of networking and training activities.
I got about 30 seconds left. It's probably easier said than done, but thread the needle between the two extremes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you definitely want to openly welcome new staff. You want to make sure they feel welcome, encouraged, and have a great place to work. But you also got to be open with your constructive criticism. Explain why you're providing the feedback. It will make them a better employee now and in the future.
Boy, being a boss sounds stressful. I think I'll just stay right where I am. Philip, thanks for joining us here today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
Phil Weiss from SeyFarth. You can go to SeyFarth, that's SeyFarth, @work.com. Kiana DeSanti joins us now. She's from the Chicago Loop Alliance, the Chief Marketing and Communications Officer. Kiana, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Good talking to you, John.
Yeah, great.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about this Activate event. I imagine you're excited for it to be back after a little hiatus.
Yes, definitely. Well, we could all use something to celebrate, definitely given the news that you're covering today. Yes, so Activate was actually on a hiatus. This is a very popular event series that Chicago Loop Alliance has been doing since 2014, and we took 2 years off in 2020 and 2021, and we're thrilled to say the event is back for one night only on Thursday, June 30th from 5 to 10 p.m. That's this Thursday.
That's great. And by the way, Kiana, I know I said your last name wrong. You were a champ to power through. DeStasi, I don't want to get that wrong. So what sorts of things can people expect from this?
Great. So Activate is a free celebration of arts and culture. So what we do is we transform unexpected spaces in the Loop. This year, the event is on Quincy Street between LaSalle and Clark. And you can expect it's free. And when you register in advance, you actually get a free drink ticket. So I definitely recommend people do that. But when you show up, you will see arts and culture. The alley is transformed through interactive art. There's interactive art from Paint the City, demonstrations. We have music from Freak Easy and DJ sessions. There will be live interactive elements from Operamatic. There's just a ton of fun. It's really just a celebration of arts and culture and some drinks as you go.
Yeah, that's always fun too. Now you have me on board. No, but the art in different spaces, it is always interesting to see it in some place that you might not expect, outside, right? And I think there is a different way of taking it in and interpreting it. It's a unique experience, to be sure.
Definitely. This series really transforms spaces that you might see every day into just a whole different transformation. And this year, the theme of this event is We Dream in Color. It takes place during Pride Month, and we have performances by a queer pride and a bunch of other folks. And it's going to be a very open and inclusive space. We're encouraging people to dress in colorful outfits if they wish. And there will be a special prize given to the person who has the most colorful costume attire.
Well, that's good. My pride outfit is just out of the laundry from Sunday.
See, exactly. It's not required.
Right.
But if you wish, you can, yes.
Because then it makes the whole thing look a little bit more colorful. That is Thursday, June 30th. Oh, boy, June 30th sounds so far in the future. That's in 2 days.
It's this Thursday. Can you believe it?
I can't.
It's almost over.
5 to 10 p.m. And what? Yeah, you just show up, Quincy and LaSalle, and start enjoying yourself.
Although I do recommend that you register in advance, and that's how you also get that free drink ticket, and you'll get other details. And that you can register at loopchicago.com/activate.
That's great. You know, when Sundays on State started, I think I said here on WGN Radio, sounds cool. I don't know if anyone's going to want to go to that. I'm so happy I was wrong about that.
Over half a million people came to Sundays on State last year.
Yeah, that's why people shouldn't listen to me for any predictions on what's going to happen. And you know, we talk about silver linings and doing things a little differently because of the way the pandemic happened. And I think it's so cool that this is continuing.
Yes. So we kind of took a pause on Activate and we started Sundays on State last year, which is also continuing this year. Sundays on State returns July 24th and goes every other weekend till September 4th, and that will be on State Street. But yes, we're thrilled to bring Activate back, which is something we didn't do during pandemic. But yes, Sundays on State was just a really wonderful happy accident that came out of sort of what our increased needs and different needs were during this time.
Referring to Activate again, and you know, we talk about, we love having you guys on the show because we're all about promoting things that are happening in the Loop, the great positive things, not only just because it makes us feel good and we have a beautiful city, but it's a real economic driver to have people come to the downtown area. Activate alone is a huge economic driver.
Yes. So Activate, over the years we've done it, has generated over $3 million in economic impact to Loop businesses and seen over 80,000 attendees since 2014. So typically when we have these events, a few thousand people come to each Activate event. And to Sundays on State, I mean, that even has a much larger crowd. So these free events are really a positive reason for people to come down and enjoy their, fall in love with their city again. And then, you know, people do spend dollars while they're here at local businesses.
Kiana DeStasi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, John.
From the Chicago Loop Alliance. And again, that website, I know it's on their page here, if you want to register, loopchicago.com/activate. Let's get a look at the Wintrust Business Minute. Here's Steve Krasanich.
Time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Another month of double-digit increases for Chicago home values. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index shows an increase of 13% in April compared to a year ago. It's the 12th consecutive month of 10% growth or better. Nationwide, the increase was 20.4%. The Chicago reading for March was also 13%. It was 13.1% for February, suggesting some leveling off. The index tracks 20 major U.S. cities, and Chicago came in at 18, above Washington and Minneapolis. They had 12.7% and 12.3% rises, respectively. Walgreens Boots Alliance has abandoned the sale of its boots business. The company says the recent unexpected and dramatic change in global financial markets is the reason why. The Deerfield-based company launched the sales process back in January. Boots is the largest pharmacy chain in the UK. The recent strong performance of Boots is also likely behind the decision to retain that part of the business. I'm Steve Krasanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And now the business of food, Steve Alexander.
We are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. So here's the thing for most farmers.
You have one chance to make money per year. And if you lose that one chance, you lose 1 year of your life.
But Ukrainian farmers are facing the loss of three crop years. Last year's, which is still mostly in the bin and can't be exported. This year's because some of it won't be able to be harvested. And next year's because farmers don't want to plant another crop they won't get paid for. The war has gone on for about 4 months, and farmer Nick Gordachuk says fatigue is becoming an issue.
There is fatigue. You know, it's people who are far away, they are tired of the war. Europe is already tired of the war. I noticed a lot of support from people who were closer to Ukraine, like Poland, Baltic countries, because they can feel it and they're afraid that they will be next. If we don't stand against Russia and Putin, they will be next ones.
And he says he understands it's human nature.
In the beginning, it was like a shock to everybody that this can happen, so everybody really cared. But then everybody became busy with their own things, and okay, guys. Now many people are pushing our president, try to come to some consensus, to some peaceful negotiations. But how can you talk to a butcher? Huh? How can you talk to somebody, to the army that has been killing children and raping women in 21st century? This war has a much bigger meaning to the whole world.
A month or so ago, farmer Nick Gordachuk said he was confident his country would prevail over Russia. And now?
Well, I am still optimistic, but not... I was over-optimistic before. Now when I see how the war, the outcome, and I believe that it will take time. And we very much depend on the support we're getting from Europe or from the United States.
Nick Gordachuk speaking from his farm near Kyiv. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Well, we bring on Jim Dahlke, senior editor of Chicago Inno, chicagoinno.com. Good, Jim, always good to chat with you.
Hey, John, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, boy, we're talking about layoffs coming, and for a lot of companies, unfortunately, especially in the tech world, they're already here, aren't they?
that's right. You know, the tech industry and the public market certainly being impacted, and that trickles its way down into the startup world as well. The venture-backed businesses certainly feeling the sting of the, you know, the tech slowdown, speed bump, whatever you want to call it. And some companies in Chicago are feeling it as well. Most recently, a local fintech startup Amount, which raised funding last year at a $1 billion valuation, it has just trimmed about 18% of its workforce, the company confirmed to us yesterday. Not exactly sure how many employees that affects exactly, but they had about 400 when they raised funding last year, so that would put it at about 70 or so folks who were let go. So that you know, round of layoffs comes as several Chicago companies have experienced something similar. Chicago startup Cameo, of course, we talk about frequently, celebrity shout-out app, they cut about 25% of their workforce. And Hologram, an IoT startup in Chicago, cut about a third. So these are all venture-backed startups, high-growth companies that are experiencing a little bit of what some other businesses in the tech sector nationally are feeling as well.
In the immediate, of course, that's no good. But when you zoom out and look at the tech sector here in Chicago, comparing it to the rest of the sectors, well, they can pat themselves on the back a little bit. The tech world can.
That's right. And, you know, the tech sector, the economy here in the tech sector grew much faster than the city's broader economy over the last decade. That's according to a new report recently released from the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. They found that Chicago's tech sector grew 18% in the last 10 years compared to just 1% growth from the city's broader economy. So the tech economy is certainly resilient, especially during the pandemic year. So when you're looking at job growth, even from 2019 to 2021, Chicago's overall economy decreased 8%, while the tech ecosystem only fell 2%. So, the city certainly believes that the tech sector is, you know, strong and resilient. And despite, you know, what may be a looming slowdown, a looming speed bump here in the tech sector, Chicago's economy is poised to withstand it.
Is it just the startups that are driving this, or is this, you know, companies, you know, adding more tech jobs to their non-tech company payrolls?
That's a great question, and that's a great piece of what the chamber was presenting in its report. So tech is certainly more than just startups. You look at companies like United, which have, you know, over 1,000 tech-related jobs in its Chicago workforce. Lots of major companies are hiring in tech and, you know, for what have been traditionally non-tech companies. So the city is certainly evaluating its tech jobs based on more than just kind of the startup sector and really looking overall. And certainly many, many businesses are hiring tech employees in Chicago.
All right. So tech good over the last 10 years in Chicago, and also leading the way in the bid on something that is a little bit harder to, measure. But certainly we have stats on it. Gender diversity, which other companies are aiming to do a better job at. But Chicago tech companies doing okay.
That's right. So an organization called Chicago Blend, which launched a few years ago here to sort of measure and increase diversity at local startups and VC firms, they found that nearly 40% of VC-backed startups in Chicago are founded by women or someone identifying as non-binary or other gender. That's compared to the national average of just 28%. So certainly some good numbers there. Chicago's official number clocks in at 39%. So the total, the report also found that between 2020 and 2022, the total share of women and other gender CEOs, which also includes founders and non-founding CEOs, jumped from 21% to about 34%. So certainly some good growth there. And something that Chicago certainly likes to hang its cap on is being a place for diverse startups and helping underrepresented founders.
And coming up, they're all going to gather together to talk about these sorts of issues.
Yeah, that's right. So a big event coming up in July, July 12th to the 14th, is called Tech Chicago Week. This is a week of events and programming led by P33, a nonprofit organization in Chicago. It's really working to kind of boost the city's tech reputation, along with World Business Chicago. So this is really kind of actually the first large-scale tech event that's happening in the city since the pandemic, really. So this will be a three-day event. Some interesting headliners, going to be some familiar faces of the tech scene, including a Governor J.B. Pritzker, who was instrumental in getting 1871 off the ground. And of course, Pritzker Group Venture Capital and has, you know, played a role in really seeding a lot of what tech companies have kind of grown into today. But also rapper Pusha T will be making an appearance as well. This is all kind of the brainchild of Claude Zemes, who works at P33 and really has kind of, you know, made it his mission to sort of create a little mini South by Southwest for Chicago. So I think a tech event that also intertwines with the city's culture and nightlife. So this will be a three-day event of both tech speeches and fireside chats, but also some after-hours nightlife stuff to kind of get a sense of the Chicago culture, too. So definitely will be an event to check out in July.
I'm always a big fan of a compliment sandwich, Jim, and you kind of just gave us one in the tech world of Chicago. You gave us the bitter pill to swallow first of the jobs losing, but then what's going well in Chicago tech, and then they're all going to come together and talk about it.
That's right. That's right.
I appreciate that. Jim Dahlke is the senior editor, of Chicago Inno, chicagoinno.com for these stories and plenty more. Have a good one, Jim.
Thanks, John.